saying that as though you meant it. I'm a good hymn. I love the truth of that hymn. What we are preaching in the gospel. Thanks for coming tonight. We give a hearty welcome to all. Remember the meeting tomorrow evening, if the Lord will, at 8 o'clock. Sunday evening at 7:30, Lord willing, as well. Now, on Lord's Day afternoon, there is a meeting for Ministry of the Word of God, but it will be held in the Carlton Hall, so we can keep that in mind. First of the month, first Sunday of the month, in the Carlton Hall. Read in Luke chapter 14 tonight, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And let us read at verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest the more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now over in chapter 18, please. And we'll read at verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I have read these two passages because of the common statement in them, and I want to emphasize this great principle that the Lord Jesus emphasized. It is true of the words of the Lord Jesus what men, his enemies, said about him. Never man spake like this man. There is not another man in all the universe who has ever spoken words like the words of the Lord Jesus. There are no other words to be compared with his. Words that express what he has said and that explain them are of value. But the words of the Lord Jesus stand unique. They are the words of God. He is the Word. He has expressed the heart and the thoughts and character of God. And these words that we have read tonight are important, repeated as they are. They are worthy of note. What I might say is a title for my thinking is this. I want to take the opposite or use the idea of a book title. When I was in education, there was a book that had to do with the subject of education, a popular book, and I read it to my own enjoyment, at least in part. It was called Up the Down Staircase. And it was a book about New York school systems, the New York school system and the callousness of the administration that made up rules that had nothing to do with students, and they were in the midst of all kinds of needs and heartbreak and everything else, and here the school system was making up rules that they were to be going, not allowed to go up the down staircase and that kind of thing. But I want to tell you, what we are dealing with tonight is not something that's irrelevant to the need of men and women. This is an essential principle that the Lord Jesus has set down. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And in order for men and women to have eternal blessing, I suppose that this in itself is the greatest difficulty. There are some people, and they say the hardest difficulty to me about getting salvation is believing and figuring it all out. I want to state very plainly tonight that I don't believe that's the difficulty most people have. The difficulty that most people have is taking the right place. And the Lord Jesus is teaching that truth in the stories we have read tonight. It is not a matter of the Lord Jesus saying to men and women now, I want you to become humble. We had a young man attending meetings we were having in Maryland one time. Don was a school teacher and a fine young man, and he attended a number of the meetings, and we had personal conversations with him. He was interested in what we were preaching. And he told us more than once that he had been saved. Every day it seemed he came with a new story. And finally we began to speak with him because he hadn't gotten God's salvation at all. We're not the judges, but it is sometimes evident by what a person says that they have never gotten to Christ. And we began to go over the matter of salvation and how he should go about it. He was going about it altogether wrong. He says, you know, I see what you're saying. You want me to become a more humble individual. That's not what we're interested in tonight. We're not interested in men and women becoming somehow humble. That has the idea that we will somehow take a place that's lower than we deserve. Isn't that what we oftentimes mean when we say a person is humble? They deserve a certain place, but they'll take a lower place. We are interested tonight in men and women taking the place that is right for them. We are interested in men and women taking the place that God's Word gives them. We are interested tonight in your taking the place that God in His book says is yours. Not asking you to do something that's lower than you deserve. The Lord Jesus thought, whosoever humbleth himself and takes his proper place shall be exalted. It is not a matter of taking a place that is lower than you deserve. I want to notice in these two stories, then, first of all, a contrasting provision. It's interesting to me that this statement, the need for humbling, is in connection with two different aspects of salvation. In Luke chapter 14, it is in connection with a feast. And in Luke chapter 18, it's in connection with an altar. Now that tells me there are two sides to man's eternal blessing. There is the manward side, and there is the Godward side. There is the internal side, there is the eternal side, if I may put it that way. What I'm saying is this. We are dealing with a blessing from God that brings men and women into a feast. The only blessing in the world that will fully satisfy men and women. I was looking at a diet book today. I won't explain to you why I was. But I was looking at a diet book today, and it spoke about people trying to find satisfaction in food. But I want to tell you something. God is offering food, spiritual, that satisfies. You won't find it here. In this world, what you'll find God's food to satisfy in the soul is in the Word of God. We are offering tonight from God, from His holy, unerring Word, a feast that will bring joy and peace to a man or woman's soul and will satisfy them for time, for every moment of their life, and it will satisfy them for eternity. That's one side. But the other side is this. Not only must man be satisfied, but more important than that, God must be satisfied. You see, most of man's thinking and man's religion only centers on the one half. How do I feel about it? And is it what I want? And is it what I think is right? But dear soul, let us put first things first. The first and most important thing is God's salvation presents to man a way that man can be right with God, that God can be satisfied as to that man or woman.
And the most important thing for you tonight is not how I can be satisfied in life. The most important thing is how can God be satisfied with me? Is there any way that I can be accepted with God? Is there any way that God can look upon me with favor? That's the important thing. You get the Godward side of your life straightened out first, and all the other parts of life will fall into their place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A Godward side and a manward side of the message of the gospel. The second thing I want to notice with you and emphasize in particular is the common principle that is in these two passages. It is a matter of humbling oneself in order to be exalted. The Lord Jesus emphasizes the need for humbling. You know why? Because by nature, we all think too much of ourselves. And I don't just mean man to man. I mean as far as our stand before God. By nature, we all think too highly of ourselves. We are far too given to thinking of ourselves above what God and His Word describes us to be. You know, I thought of it when we were singing those two hymns tonight. I didn't choose the two hymns for this particular purpose, but I noticed in both of the hymns that we were singing to sinners. It may be that there are some in the meeting tonight, and when you were singing those lines, you were objecting to that, weren't you? And you were saying, you know, that's an awful kind of a crude way to, here I am in the meeting tonight, the first time I've ever been here, and here they are, they must be singing to me, and they're trying to tell me I'm a sinner. Kind of hard to take, isn't it? We would all prefer to think of ourselves just a little bit above that. That's why we are preaching tonight on the need for taking a proper place before God. That's why we are emphasizing from God's Word the need to be humbled, the need to be brought down just to where I should be in my own thinking before God. I want you to notice in connection with these two stories that the Lord Jesus is emphasizing, first of all, taking a right place relative to others. You see, that's the story in Luke chapter 14. In that story, I'm sure you'll recall it just from our having read it, but individuals are invited to a feast. And there are different places at the feast, a more honored place and a less honored place. And the Lord Jesus is saying, well, if you sit down in the honored place, you're running the risk of the host coming to you and saying, now listen, there's someone else come along that's more honorable than you are. You'll have to give place to them, and you'll end up way down at the end of the line. The far better thing is sit down at the end of the line to start with. In other words, evaluate yourself properly when it comes to others. You see, I think therein is a tremendous problem that some have of failing to see themselves as God sees me and not so much as others see me. When I begin to evaluate myself with others, you see, I can say, well, I think I'm better than this, and I'm not so bad as that, and on it goes, you see. Listen, if you're going to take the proper place relative to others, it is this, sit down in the lowest room. There's not one person in the meeting tonight has any cause to look upon someone else and say, actually, after all, I'm more honorable than that person. Isn't that a tremendously important and leveling truth that the Lord Jesus is teaching here? When it comes to the way I regard myself relative to others, the Word of God says there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one person here. I don't know you all, but I can tell you this very plainly. There is not one person here that is thinking rightly about themselves if they are considering themselves better off as far as a moral standing before God than others. Sit down in the lowest room. And when the Lord Jesus is telling us the other side of it, not only the Godward side of humbling oneself, the manward side rather, but the Godward side, Luke chapter 18 tells me this. Here is the proper place to take Godward. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. any man or woman that's not willing to take that place before God has not yet taken proper ground. Why, it's very plain. I say once more, I think this is one of the things that we need to emphasize time and time again. The only place that is right for a man or woman to take before God is this. I am the sinner. This man, you see, has gotten very much singled out. He is not thinking like the Pharisee before him. He says, I thank God I'm not as other men are. You see, that man hadn't humbled himself, and he wasn't exalted either in the end of the story. This man says, I don't know anything about all the other people that are surrounding this temple. I don't know about anyone else that is speaking to God. But as for me, at this moment, I am the sinner. The man has suddenly become very conscious that his need is such he can think of no one else. You might call that selfish, but I call it wise. Dear souls, tonight, if you began to understand from God's Word just your present condition before God, a sinner, from the inside out, from top to bottom, ruined in sin, your need would so overwhelm you tonight, you would not care about anyone else, and whether they're sinner or not sinner. The great problem is this, I am sinner before God. The man is thinking of only himself, and he has turned his thinking away from all others. I'm the sinner, the sinner. Humbling oneself before God as well, from Luke chapter 14, means this. The man who sat down in the lowest place was submitting himself to his host's judgment. In other words, if the host says that he belongs up here, then the host will move up. You see, the two men that come in, if I may put it this way, the one man that comes in and sits up at the top place, he's going by his own judgment. The man who comes in and sits down in the lowest place, he's saying, I'll submit myself to the host's judgment. If the host says I should go higher, fine. I wonder tonight if there are souls in this meeting that are willing to submit themselves to God's judgment and put all their own thinking aside, turn away from all thoughts of merit that they have about themselves, all thoughts of things that will present themselves to God. You see, going back to Luke chapter 18, the man who there has humbled himself is the man who says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. It is not a matter tonight of taking the place of a sinner who is trying to be saved. God's not looking for sinners who are trying to be saved. He's looking for sinners. It is not a matter of sinners who are trying to be sincere. He is looking for sinners. It's not a matter of sinners who are trying to feel saved, trying to believe, who are trying their very best to understand the Bible, who are trying in their religious persuasion to do the very best that they can. God is looking for sinners. And there's a world of difference between a sinner who is adding something to that and one who simply says sinner. I suppose some here may know the name Henry Walls. I have heard oftentimes the story of his conversion, but never from him. But when the gospel came into his family, his wife was saved first. And then he had quite a struggle to be saved himself. And his problem was this. He could see, I'm going to hell among the ungodly. I'm going to hell with the ungodly. There are ungodly people that are going to hell, and I'm going to hell too. There came a time before he got God's salvation that he had to find out, I am one of the ungodly that are going to hell. You see, we are far too much given to trying to find ways of separating ourselves from those that are sinners. It may be there's someone in the meeting tonight, and you're interested in having God's salvation, and you think somehow or other that sets you apart from others who are sinners. And there's your problem. Dear soul in the meeting tonight, God is looking for sinners. It's the only kind of people that He has blessing for. No one has properly responded to the gospel who has not taken the lowest place. The message we are preaching demands a response. You can either say, I don't really believe what those men are preaching. I don't really feel myself to be so bad. I think that they are dealing with an altogether irrelevant subject. I don't know what the thoughts of many may be, but there will be some response. And if I gather a lesson from Luke chapter 18, it is this. No one has properly responded to the gospel who has not turned away from every merit of their own and trusted only the sacrifice. Let me see if I can explain that thought to you very clearly. This man, the publican who says, God be merciful to me, the sinner, the man who has humbled himself and is exalted by God, he leaves that place right with God. That man has gotten to the place where the only thing that he is trusting is altogether outside of himself. He is trusting the merits of a sacrifice. And that is the essence of what we are preaching tonight. There are religions by the score in our city here this evening. And they are telling men and women, some more and some less, about the sacrifice of Christ. But after all, they are all making the mistake, or the vast majority, any who are not preaching the message we are preaching tonight, they are making this mistake. They are telling men, it is the sacrifice of Christ plus, and the plus varies from place to place. We were speaking with a woman just a couple of months ago now, what's this, April? March, February, 3 months ago now, and she had been brought up in a very strong faith, and we were trying to help her. Her husband was saved and was terribly perplexed that his wife seemed to be making no progress. To my knowledge, she has made no further progress since then. But we began to ask her what she believed, and when we got all finished with it, I said, now please tell me, Mavis, what a person has to do in order to be right with God. Well, she says they've got to believe in Christ. They've got to be baptized. They've got to be part of this particular congregation that I'm linked with, this particular group. And they have got to do evangelistic work and tell others. And she had a fifth one. Five things. This, plus this, plus this, plus this, plus this. Of course, the great problem we had was, where do you find all that in the Bible? It's not there. But you see, that's the great fault. What we are preaching tonight is this only. Faith in Christ will save thee. Sinner, trust God's risen Son. Trust the work that He has done. To His cross now quickly run. Faith in Christ will save thee. But the great problem that men and women have, I know that to be the case because I have the same problem, is getting to the place where they are willing to trust nothing but the work of Christ. I always had the idea as a boy growing up and learning the gospel that the death of Christ was of tremendous value. I heard the Christians giving God thanks for it time and time again. And the work of Christ, it must be tremendous. But there is something that God has left for me to do. I will never forget the night that God finally brought me down to the lowest room. And finally I discovered, to the shock of my heart, there is absolutely nothing you can do, David. You're lost. And if it's up to you to get God's salvation, you're going to be in hell forever. If there's one slight fragment for you to do, you're doomed. You can't do it. If I had only listened to what God said in His Word, I wouldn't have had to go through all that. But I wouldn't. But I'm thankful to God I got down to that point. And for the first time in my life, you know what happened? What the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary was all that I needed. Dear soul, until you've gotten to that point, there's your problem. You've never humbled yourself before God. You've never taken the lowest place. The lowest place is this. I can do nothing. If I receive all that I deserve, it will be hell forever. If I receive all of it, it will be the result of my efforts. It will be banishment from God. My only hope is outside of number one. My only hope is Christ. Dear soul, that's what it means to humble yourself. It's to get to the point where you're willing to trust Christ and nothing more. When I look at these two stories, there's one other simple thought I want to emphasize, because in these stories we have a comparative plan. There are two sides as well to the way of salvation. The story in Luke chapter 14 tells me why God saves men and women. And the story in Luke chapter 18 tells me how God saves men and women. Luke chapter 14 gives me the answer why. In one word, it is grace. If you read down the story and the narrative a little further, you will find the Lord Jesus telling those who are inviting people to a feast, don't invite people that can return the favor to you. Invite the poor and the maimed and the blind and the halt. People that have nothing to pay you in return. And then when you read the story of the feast that God is inviting men to, that's just the kind of people that God invites. Why? Because God is offering salvation by grace. God is not giving salvation to men who are going to be able to return something to Him. My, I'm glad that's true. There came a moment in my life when I discovered there was nothing I could give to God. And from that moment to this, I love to sing those words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I think it to be one of the sweetest words in the Bible. Grace. Because I discovered I had nothing I could give to God. And when God was inviting me, He was giving me heaven's best for nothing. Heaven was not looking for something in here. Heaven was not looking for something from my hand or from my heart or from my mouth or from my life. God says there is absolutely nothing I can do to please Him and to merit the supper. God is saying tonight, by grace are you saved. Listen, dear soul, God is looking for nothing from you. You and I have nothing we can offer to God that's acceptable. God brings men to the feast on the basis of grace alone. Your merit will do you no good. The time to throw it all out is tonight and to take the lowest place. But when I learn in Luke chapter 18 the how, I see that it all points to the sacrifice. How is it possible for God to exalt a man? Solely upon the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. All that God needs to be able to take me to heaven is the work of Christ. All that God needs in order to speak every one of my sins forgiven is the work of Christ. All that God needs to bring me into every spiritual blessing is the work of Christ, plus nothing. No wonder we have sung it with heart tonight. It is finished, yes indeed, it's finished every jot. Sinner, this, the offering of Christ at Calvary, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? May God grant you might for the first time tonight take your proper place as a guilty, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, totally helpless, and with nothing in yourself you can trust. And for the first time, trust the finished work of Christ. It's all that God requires. And if you take proper ground tonight, you'll find it's all you need for heaven.